From the Academy Award-winning team behind Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., and Finding Nemo comes the story of an American family that takes the animated motion picture into realms of drama and design never seen before. The film is called The Incredibles, and it follows the adventures of a family of former superheroes rediscovering the true source of their powers in one another. The Incredibles is directed by Brad Bird, who has long been regarded by his peers in the animation community as one of the most innovative, talented, and passionate purveyors of his craft. He makes his Pixar debut with The Incredibles following a distinguished career in television. He was executive consultant to the hit animated television series King of the Hill and The Simpsons and film. He directed the acclaimed 1999 animated feature film masterpiece, The Iron Giant. He now joins us on behalf of The Incredibles. Hi, Brad. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I just absolutely love that this movie is about an unconventional family of closeted superheroes. I think that that's just a scream.
Aren't we all closeted superheroes?
We could use that as the basis for the rest of this interview. Aren't we closeted superheroes? I guess we all are to some degree. Huh?
Yeah, I certainly think, when I look at any group of kids, I see really magical people that are sometimes have that magic sort of beaten out of them by the time they grow up.
Yeah. Well, I like in the film how these folks are forced into the closet because of a litigation-crazed society. that was very, very funny.
Nothing will ground a superhero faster than a lawsuit. You know?
Yeah, of course. Is The Incredibles the most complex animated entertainment yet created? It seems.
Oh, no, I think that I would tremble under the weight of that hyperbole. You know, I'm simply trying to make the kind of movie that I would want to watch.
But from what I've read, it does seem to be. It was ambitious. I mean, the making of it was ambitious, and it required things that hadn't been done before.
Yeah, well, that's certainly true.
I mean, there's 100 different sets in the film too, right?
There's about four times as many as the last Pixar film, and I did absolutely push Pixar to the brink, but I think that for all the people who said, this is impossible to do, there were just as many who said, let's do it, and I can't say enough great things about Pixar. It is an absolutely amazing company that, will push itself to achieve whatever you can imagine.
I get this sense that it's probably one of the coolest places to work on this earth. I mean,
testify.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but I have this vision of all these, grown men and women, just, pushing the limits creatively, which is really, I think, what you need to do to come up with things that are new and innovative and interesting. I mean, you gotta sort of like put yourself on the line in that way.
Sure. Well, I look at it as one of those just freaks of nature that, it's almost like mushrooms you can't grow a mushroom. It kind of has to happen by accident. And, most companies are lucky if they have one really creative visionary, and Pixar is lucky enough to have three. You know, it has John Lasseter, who's a brilliant film director absolutely wonderfully creative guy, and it has Ed Catmull, who in the computer graphics world is considered sort of a god. So much of what we have now is based on things that Ed developed. And Steve Jobs is simply one of the most brilliant entrepreneurs around, and all three of them are at the head of this company. I mean, how weird is that? How great is that?
Yeah, it's great.
It's really triply great. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right there.
We're talking to animator Brad Bird. He's the director of The Incredibles. One of the things I want to mention, too, about the movie is that technologically it's extremely sophisticated, yet it's classically character-driven in the best of the tradition of Disney animation.
Uh-huh.
I know you apprenticed with one of the nine old men, didn't you?
A few of the nine old men, actually. Yeah.
So you were really trained well then.
Yeah, John Lasseter was too. I mean, we both kind of were lucky enough to show up in animation at a time where these guys were still around and active. And they are, I think, the bar remains set where those guys left it. I look at the work that Frank Thomas and Ollie Johnston, Milt Kahl, and Eric Barson and Mark Davis and Ward Kimball and blah, 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 blah. But I look at their work now and I never fail to get hypnotized by it. It's just a brilliant animation and it was very inspiring to me.
You're in this movie too, aren't you?
Yeah, well, you know, the security was lax that day.
You play Edna Mode, and it's funny. When the character came on the screen, I kept seeing somebody who reminded me of like a flaming Linda Hunt by way of like an Edith Head. And she's the superhero fashion designer, right? This is a brilliant character. It's so funny.
Well, thank you. I think the days that I was happiest as a screenwriter are the days that I was writing scenes with E in them.
With E, yes.
Yeah, her name is E.
Known
yeah.
as E, otherwise known as E, yeah.
And, I just had a really fun time inhabiting that head because she has a she's a very tiny person with a very large personality and is probably the only person in the film who actually intimidates the superheroes, you know, just by force of her personality.
She's 3'8" and according to the website her weight is she's not telling, darling.
Is that what it says?
That's what it says, yes. The movie has an amazing look. It's futuristic, but it has a strong nostalgic feel.
It's kind of the future as seen from like the mid 60s, you know. We have technology that they never would have, had some of it we don't have yet. But it's kind of designed in its surface detail, sort of from a retro mid 60s look, which is a look I like a lot. So it just seemed right for the film.
Could you talk a little bit about the challenge of creating believable human animated forms?
Well, I think that you picked the right word, which people often don't, which is believable rather than realistic.
Realistic.
I think a lot of people get caught up in trying to achieve a pseudo realism with the exterior of the characters and end up with characters that are creepy and sort of zombie-like. Our goal in this was to have stylized humans that whose proportions are exaggerated. I mean, our lead guy, Mr. Incredible Bob, also known as Bob Parr, his hands are about 3 times bigger than his feet. So these are very stylized characters, but we wanted to animate them in a way that they were convincing and the audience could be drawn into them as if they were real people.
The process of animating a film goes through several stages. There's the writing of the story, and then the storyboarding, and then the turning the storyboards into what are called animatics. Then the art department determines the look for the movie. Then the actors are brought in to record the voices, and then you have this 3D animation fleshing out of the characters. Then the film's edited, scored.
See, it takes almost as long to explain as it does to make. It's a 4-year project just to explain it.
Well,
there's got to be a smarter way to make a movie. Dang it!
I understand that you had a new process for storyboarding. Did you?
I don't think it's new. I think the extent to which I like to take story reels is much further than most people like to do it. I developed this as on Iron Giant, and the reason I did was we had about a third of the money and half the time to make the movie our, you know, competitors, shall we say, even though I don't think they're competitors. I think anyone that wants to make a good movie is not a competitor. I'm rooting for them. But, we had, a fraction of the resources of the other animated features that were being made at the time. And we, felt like I argued heavily for spending more time and money and resources on the story reels because it was a cheaper place to make mistakes, and it was a cheaper place to see what the movie was going to be, so that by the time it got into animation, we knew exactly what we were doing. So I do really elaborate story reels. I mean, I have camera moves, dimensional camera moves in the story reels. I try to get the camera angles the way I want them in a very early stage, and we create a plan and we stick to it. And that came in very handy on this film because we were trying to make a film that was much larger than anything Pixar had done, but we didn't want to cost significantly more. You know, we didn't want it to Pixar to have to pay, you know, dearly for the fact that we had big eyes. And the only way we could do that is to really figure out what we were doing before we did it, and then stick to it.
Well, it's one jam-packed, larger-than-life movie, plot-wise and thematic-wise.
It's a big piece of popcorn craziness, isn't it?
A big piece of popcorn craziness. That's The Incredibles. Yeah, you heard it first thus described here by Brad Bird, the writer-director of The Incredibles. We've been in conversation with him, and it's an incredible movie indeed. Brad Bird, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
I'm Tim Sika for Celluloid Dreams, 90.5 FM KSJS, San Jose.